It's Thursday, so you know what that means. We are back with the mailbag, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man at home, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And apologies, no podcast earlier this week. Might still be intermittent for the rest of the week. I will explain. My mom had hip surgery this week, so I've been going back and forth. I'm a little intermittent because of that. So if we can get the all three in, which is the goal, it's the hope for the week, we will do so. But I cannot promise because I don't know when she'll need me. So there's that. Just wanted to get that house cleaning out of the way. Didn't realize I was going to be so back and forth as I am. But let's get right to it. Let's get right to everything. But first, remember builtbar.com. Get a promo code for $10 off at using the promo code Locked On. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But I put my money where my mouth is. I got my 18 bars. They're excellent. I got them 4 days ago, and I've had probably or 3 days ago, something like that. And I've probably had half of them already because they're that delicious. All right, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Why has the relationship with Belleville deteriorated? How much does the Belleville staff play a role in Michigan recruiting that school? Michigan signed Andre as an Andre Seldon last cycle, but do you see them steering kids away from Michigan? I haven't really delved into it much. I haven't talked to Jermaine Crowell since January, and it was very passing at that. I couldn't really tell you. I do know that, yes, a staff can somewhat steer a kid away. Whether that's what he's doing or not, I don't know. I have talked to some of my colleagues, and they've indicated that it's not the greatest relationship at the moment. But I don't really know, and I'm sure part of it is, you know, I think some people fall for the panache, right? Back when people were first making a big deal over the Belleville thing, when it was Dobbs and Barnett, it was a lot of misinformation going around. Like, there wasn't a strained relationship then. There appears to be now. But I would say that there's some degree of falling for the panache of other schools sometimes. I do think that could play a factor in it. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I've seen it happen where there's kind of a, hey, these guys are saying this and doing this, and it's like you see through that, right? So I guess that's the long and short way of saying I don't know. And as always, I'm not going to pretend to know. More. I do know that it is strained where it wasn't before. I couldn't tell you why, but yes, coaching staffs at high schools can. Some say, hey, I'm not going to steer. Some say, hey, I'm going to steer. It happens. It's part of recruiting. And I think it's kind of fine in the sense of Michigan's getting a lot of who they want. Yeah, it's probably not going to help with Belleville and Damon Payne and losing a guy that's that talented from 10 miles away is never a good ordeal. But, yeah. Put it that way. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Dylan got posted as a dark horse Heisman candidate at 7,500 to 1. What odds would you give Milton? Bigger question, is a Heisman finalist caliber quarterback the only thing keeping Michigan from their division conference or national goals, much like LSU? The latter one first. Certainly that's part of it. I think it's a group effort, winning and losing. I don't think that Shea was the reason why they haven't beaten Ohio State the last couple years. But, I mean, if you had a guy that was matching him tit for tat, it could be different. Puts a little bit more pressure on them. But I think it's more than just the quarterback, personally. I will say that as far as Michigan getting there. But I think that if they had a truly elite generational type quarterback, I mean, any team that has that is probably going to be at least closer to winning their division, conference, or a national title than not having one, of course. as far as the odds for Joe Milton, I mean, if Dylan's got that, I mean, I'd give the same to Milton. It depends on who wins the job and who ends up going out there and shining when the lights are on. Because as much as I sit there and say, hey, Joe Milton might be the best option, that's also keeping in mind with both that neither have had significant enough playing time to really tell who's going to be able to go out there and sling it around. Because, you know, not to bag on him because he's my guy, but John O'Korn, everything I had heard about him was he was excellent in practice, but when he was actually there on the field against another team, it wasn't nearly what it was on State Street. That's one of the things that Jamie Morris always says on his show when I'm on there is, you know, you can play on State Street, but can you play on Main Street? And there's a difference. So I don't know. I don't want to handicap it in the sense of, I you know, who knows what you'll actually see. I think it would probably be really positive, but who knows? And so I put it at even, I guess, is what, and I know that's not the sexy answer, but that is my answer. Michael Wolf at MWolf21, my brother in metal, assuming the football recruiting stays consistent and keeps improving in the next 3 to 5 years, does that make them a top five team consistently? I think it varies in the sense of, A, development, really hitting on those 3 stars, which they actually have a pretty good track record of doing. People don't like to talk about that. People like to talk about the 5 stars, not necessarily being those high-end guys, but, you know, Josh Uche was an obvious hit. Josh Metellus was an obvious hit. You go down the board of guys that got drafted, and a lot of, you see, you know, quite a few 3 stars. I mean, go back to 2017 NFL draft, coming out the 2016 team. I mean, Chris Wormley was a 3-star. I mean, you had some 4-stars in there, but you had, you know, you also have some guys that weren't nearly as heavily recruited, like Taco Charlton. Not, you know, I don't believe he was a guy that the Buckeyes were really trying to get. They've had some pretty decent success with those guys. But I think it also matters of what you have around you. I find it funny that Michigan gets as much flack about it, because I just saw, you know, now that JT Daniels is headed to Georgia, which I alluded to on this show, regular listeners will recognize that I said a particular team. I think I even said in the SEC East. I might have just said the SEC. But I was told that he was going to end up at Georgia a couple weeks ago. So it would have been a mailbag, I think, 2 weeks ago. But nonetheless, I think it matters with when you look at a team like Georgia. They have, I think, 16 former 5-stars on their roster, more than any other team in the country. And then you have Alabama, I think, had 13. Ohio State had 10, something like that. And then there was a couple others, and then it said rest of all of football, 36 combined. And I think sometimes it's what you do with your talent, because look at Georgia. I think Georgia is the most underachieving team in the country. As much as people want to say Michigan because, hey, it's that big national brand, and what has Jim Harbaugh done, and Jim Harbaugh can't get over the Ohio State hump. Yeah, Georgia made the national championship game once and lost it in overtime. But when you have that much talent, you should be winning all of them, right? You are arguably the most talented team in the country. And you're in a fertile recruiting ground, and they always go out and lose a game that they shouldn't lose, like they did last year, South Carolina. And, you know, or they flame out, and people say, well, they have to, you know, they have to get over Alabama, and they have to get over, you know, LSU. It's like, when, you know, if they meet in the finals, but that's not usually the case, right? And like when they made the national championship game that year, they had to play Auburn. Auburn had beaten Alabama that year, but Alabama had its loss to Auburn, and therefore Auburn won the head-to-head and went, and it's no different in a way than Michigan with Ohio State and Penn State. So I think a lot of it depends on multiple things. Yes, if the recruiting stays consistent and they hit on the evaluations of the other guys, it certainly could be a top five team consistently. Unfortunately, one of those teams that's probably going to be ranked higher is going to be Ohio State, so it's not necessarily going to look like that. That's the annoying thing. I do feel like Michigan is doing very well in most cases, but there's an Ohio State problem, and the problem is that's the last game of the year, and the perception of your football team is always going to be defined on how you finish. So Michigan can go 11-1 for the next 5 years, but those losses are always against Ohio State. The perception is not going to be that they're a top five school. It's going to be their second fiddle to Ohio State. That's just unfortunately what it is. Trent Noop at Trent Noop. Any intel on Donovan Edwards? Think he's coming to Michigan? I actually did check in on this, so I wasn't going to be like, well, you know, I don't know, like it's been. I did check in with someone, and what they told me is it has turned around indeed. I know that that's been widely reported, so I'm not breaking any news here, but they said it Michigan is doing a significantly better job than they were before. He's feeling the love. Everything's going really well as far as that's concerned. But he still has 7 to 10 schools that he is really into. So I asked, is Michigan the team to beat now? Or Georgia and Oklahoma, are those teams still in the mix? Alabama? And he said 7 to 10 schools he loves right now. There's still a lot of time. So just it's still the waiting game. As far as him coming to Michigan, personally, I think that if they keep the pedal to the metal, that could happen. And I can't wait. What, you know, when his recruitment is over, I'll tell you everything I know. But it does feel like it's starting to trend that way. I do feel like ultimately it's one of those things, like I've said this before, when LeVert Hill, before he committed to Michigan, he had flashed the M to me on camera. And it wasn't flashing the M. He said, let's get us Michigan guys together with David Long and Brandon Peters at the All-American Bowl. And Brandon Peters was the only Michigan commit at the time, but David Long was wearing Michigan armbands. And I said something to Steve Wiltfong afterwards, and I, you know, because I was new to the industry. I wasn't officially even with 24/7 Sports yet. And he had said, listen, sometimes guys don't necessarily know they're going to Michigan, but you know they're going to Michigan. Like, they don't necessarily know it, but you know because you can connect all those dots for them. And that was what he said about LeVert Hill a good month before LeVert Hill actually committed to Michigan. And I had asked LeVert later when I, you know, the day he committed, were you messing with me? And he said, yeah, I was messing with you. He's like, I didn't know where I was going. So I think I think with Donovan Edwards, I don't think he's messing with anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think that he doesn't necessarily know he's going to Michigan, but I feel like if you were to handicap it, it would trend that way. If I still had a 24/7 Sports crystal ball, I would put it on Michigan with a very medium confidence. I'll put it that way. Finishing out segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. After this flurry commits, what position would you say is our biggest need remaining in this class? Part two, what is the biggest strength of this class? I mean, that's really easy, and I'm going to keep it really short. Biggest strength, obviously, is the quarterback position. You got a 5-star. He's recruiting his tail off. He's going to IMG Academy, the most prominent high school as far as football is concerned in the country. That's everything you want, having an elite guy at the most – the most important position on the field. But then the biggest need is definitely defensive tackle, because they didn't take any last year. And you've got a lot of the other positions. You got some commits that you like. I know they'll probably be looking for another corner. Jade McBurrows is a real good feather in your cap. But like the last class makes it so they don't need a whole bunch of safeties, because they got those. They're still obviously looking at Donovan McMillan and some others. They've got 4 linebackers committed now. And if you really, really need a safety, I mean, you know, he's your Vipers, Junior Colson is basically that. Offensive line, they're going to continue to get a couple guys, but they've already got several high-end targets there. That doesn't really seem like they're pursuing any running backs aside from Donovan Edwards extremely hard. Corey Kiner gone to LSU. Wide receiver, they're obviously going through their paces as far as that's concerned still. Christian Dixon and Xavier Worthy and are some of the ones that are still on the board. I know some of the other guys aren't, but defensive tackle, clearly huge need. That's where you go. All right, I told you I was going to talk about Built Bar, which I, like I said, I put my money where my mouth is. I absolutely love it. I bought a box, and you know what? It's actually three mini boxes of, let me do the math. What is it? Three boxes of six, and I've barreled through at least a third of them, if not half of them. I got the almond truffle, not sorry, almond coconut, the almond, what is it? Almond toffee almond, and a black cherry raspberry cream, or black cherry cream. I'm just butchering what they're called. Doesn't matter what they're called. They're incredible, and they're so low calorie. They're about 110 calories per, seven times less carbs. They've got fiber in them. You just got to have them. They're so much better than the other leading protein bars out there. They're because they've all got 20 grams of protein too. I mean, you can have two of them, still be less calories than a lot of them out there. Get a ton of protein, and you know what? You can get $10 off of your first box. You just go to builtbar.com. Promo code lockdown. It's really hot in my room, by the way. BuiltBar.com. Put in the promo code locked on. You get $10 off your first box. You'll get it really quickly. I'm still elated. I'm going to get another box when these ones are gone because it's just become a staple of my own personal diet. So check it out. And yeah. That might have been the longest first segment I've done because I can't talk. It is what it is, which is bad because it's a podcast. You guys are just listening to me talk and I struggle at it sometimes. Anyway, let's get back to it. Tons of questions left. Tyler at T_Force1. It seems like 24/7 is generally lower on Michigan targets and commits than the composite or the rest of the industry is. I know you used to work there. Any intel on this, or am I reading too much into it? You're reading too much into it. They get their share of five stars, and they've been higher on some guys. Like Cam Agrone was a five star to 24/7 Sports, and he wasn't in the composite. It's all variable. It's not that they're and I know the guys that do those types of rankings and things. Barton Simmons, Steve Wiltfong, Alan True. No, they're not the guys who put things together. No, they're not sitting there saying, well, this guy's going to Michigan. Should we give him a bump up, bump down? No, it's nothing like that. Part of it is Michigan's own evaluations. Michigan's looking for a different type of guy, and they seem to be kind of, rolling into that. Understanding, hey, we're not necessarily going to go out and be able to get the guys that Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State are getting. They're trying for some of them, but they recognize we can't get all those guys necessarily, so let's find the guys that we think fit the mold of what we're trying to do and bring them in. And they've done a good job of that. You know, I mentioned the draft picks earlier. You still got guys like Quiddy Pay, Ronnie Bell, guys that are absolutely killing it. And who really cares if he ends up working out the way a lot of people think he will, if Blake Corum wasn't a five-star. You know what I mean? He might be a five-star talent, and it really doesn't matter, I think. But no, those guys are doing the best of their ability to get things right. That is what they're doing. Tom at TomAWoods_. When did Jim implement the fit score for recruiting? Will this help Michigan get over the road game jitters? I have no idea. I just have no idea. And I don't know what you're talking about, to be honest. That's not a conversation I've had with anyone, and it's not anything that I've read. So I will punt on that one, unfortunately. RTK at Farmerk84. Why do media outlets seem to describe O-line recruiting /depth/talent at Michigan as a weakness? Warner is one of the best coaches out there, and he's recruited very well. At least 8 highly ranked O-linemen, top 350 overall and 247. I'm just reading. Still currently on the team. And he also asked, have you seen the recent Blake Corum video with him training with his dad? He's explosive. Will be tough to keep him off the field. I haven't seen that. I've seen some of his workout videos. But I do think it will be tough to keep him off the field. I think his red shirt is as good as burned, barring any kind of setbacks. And as far as the media outlets with the O-line thing, it couldn't be me, because I've been sitting here saying, keeping in mind, they've been in one of the best situations even last year, not just with the guys they already had starting, but the guys that were behind them. Ed Warner was saying, this is the deepest group that I've had in a while, because you had three full solid rotations, and I know you had quite a bit of attrition, but no, I don't. I think that they're primed to be pretty good. Yeah, it's a lot of unproven stuff, but you know what? That's what college football is. It's not like teams, these especially good teams, that you know they always only have two guys on the O-line go. Sometimes that's the case. But a lot of times, you know, you have situations where you lose four. You know, that happens. It's part of football. Maybe not always four. I mean, that's a pretty big number, but it's one of those things, like, that's why you develop guys and why it's always next man up. So, no, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think that they have an issue with the depth. I don't see any of that. I think they're in a great situation. And I think that there's a lot of unproven. But it's not even as much as people think, because I think there's three starters returning, essentially. No, they aren't the first ones that were going to all be there. But, you know, Jalen Mayfield could have lost his job to Andrew Stuber. He won it by default in that sense. Andrew Stuber's really good. Ryan Hayes just had to wait his turn. But I've heard from everybody, he's amazing. We've all been waiting to see Chuck Filiaga. And then there's, you know, the center situation, which looks like it's going to be Zach Carpenter. They're in a good spot. I don't know why people act like it's a doomsday situation, because it's not. It's a lot of unproven to go along with the quarterback situation. But these are guys who have been around. These are guys who have played football. These are guys who have been in the system. I think I see this as an absolute win, in the words of Hulk, Bruce Banner in Endgame. Parts alternation, Mark Johnny Ballgame Horse at JKin41. What a name. Think this is Don Brown's most diverse D at Michigan. Versatile pieces all around. Linebacker looks loaded. Safety is as athletic as it's been. Defensive line depth in wait and see mode, but lots of third year guys at this was the plan stage. I see exotic looks up front if players pan out too soon. I'm not necessarily going to say it's the most diverse D, but it has the capability. One that I think just as important, I think this is the fastest defense that he'll have fielded as a whole. Because you don't just have an outlier in Devin Bush. You've got a whole bunch of guys. You got Cam McGrone's fast. Josh Ross is fast. Daxton Hill is fast. Brad Hawkins is fast. And, you know, fast being relative, it doesn't mean all of them are running 4.4s, but they're all running sub fives, you know? Avery Thomas is lightning quick. They've got a lot of guys who can run. And that's one of the things that they've had sometimes. They certainly had it up front last year as far as, you know, going with the NASCAR package, having a bunch of defensive ends out on the field at once. But yeah, they've got a lot as far as that's concerned. The defensive line depth, it is the same situation that they're in every 2 years. And we'll be in again somewhat, probably not next year, but the year after, depending on what happens in the draft. Obviously, Quiddy Pay's got to go, but after this year because of eligibility. But for the most part, it's just a plus situation as far as you're going to have a couple guys returning and a couple guys that hopefully got cut their teeth this year, and you go from there. So I think it's a plus situation. Tyler Patterson at Michigan Pat, why do we keep losing to OSU? I mean, I think we've covered that in spades at this point. I can't tell you the reasons I think, because they're privileged, but I mean, defensively, you got to play better. Ultimately, you got to be able to stop them. They haven't been able to do that for 2 years. They're able to do that. I mean, they put up enough points either in the last 2 years to where you think that they've got a pretty good shot of beating Ohio State, but you give up 56 or 62, you're not going to win. 62-39. Think about this. Michigan puts up 39 points, especially after going 10-1. You probably feel like they won that game, but they didn't. So defense has got to be better in that particular game. Block, part, alternation, Mark. Interesting names today. At Cullen Luke, I may be in the minority, but basketball questions is way more exciting right now because of the recruiting class and new coach. Football is always the same conversation. All right, well, that's, I guess, more of a comment than a question. But at the same time, people at large do not care nearly as much about basketball. I definitely know that firsthand when basketball season becomes the primary focus. I can write anything about football. It's usually not as much in the pandemic, but usually going to get eaten up. And basketball, people just don't care until you get to the tournament. My best friend's that way. He's like, wake me up when they get to not even the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament. Just does not care until they're at that point. Finishing out segment two, Alexander at the Harris Empire. What is the expected size of this year's recruiting class? We already have 16 commits. I don't really ever pay much attention to that type of thing, to be honest, because things can always change. There's always unexpected attrition, even when you get closer to the year. I always start, you know, say 25 is kind of where I'm looking. And then if they, you know, bring in two less or two more, that's usually how things would go. But I don't have a figure. I don't like to put figures on it because everything's always so fluid and there's always unexpected attrition at some point. Maybe we're through that, but, you know, every year there's always someone who makes a surprising either fall camp move or recruit doesn't qualify, or there's someone that medically has to retire. We've seen it all. So I just don't put a number on it. All right. Before we continue, I do have to remind you about this great product, Mima Remedies. It's a CBD company providing full-spectrum CBD hemp oil and flower. It's owned by a couple guys that are from Michigan, Southwest Michigan residents, and there's only two ingredients. USDA-certified organic MCT oil derived from coconuts and carbon dioxide extracted full-spectrum CBD from hemp organically grown in Oregon, where Mima founder Brandon Dendler got his start in the industry working with other Michigan natives. To celebrate Mima's first season growing their own hemp in Michigan, we are giving Lockdown listeners an astounding 25% off at MimaRemedies.com. I have mine. It's if you like CBD, it's way to go. Full spectrum extract retains terpenes and flavor of hemp flower. No additives or flavoring. All products are third-party lab tested, and it's always below 0.3% THC. Find Mima on Instagram at Mima Remedies, or go to Facebook and find them as well, or go to MimaRemedies.com. If you're looking for high-quality CBD products from a brand you can trust, Mima is a match made in Michigan. And by the way, the promo code for that is Locked On. We got a couple more questions for you, or answers for your questions, rather. And then we will ride off into the sunset on this Thursday. KM at Keith underscore 1906. Should other Big Ten schools ask Urban Meyer to be removed from their network? He was on there last year several times wearing Ohio State paraphernalia, and he's supposed to be a neutral party. I honestly don't care. It's not like, hey, the guy that's sitting on the set wearing an Ohio State what have you, is, that makes me want to go to Ohio State. Everyone knows Urban Meyer coached at Ohio State. It does not matter. What he says matters, and I think he's been pretty good. He's gotten in a couple jabs at Michigan, but you know what? I've seen my guy Mike Martin do it. I've seen Josh Perry do it. I've seen all those guys do it. They're not going to always be completely neutral. It's a Big Ten crew. Bunch of Big Ten personalities out there. It really doesn't matter, in my opinion. So, I mean, as long as he keeps it at a minimum, whatever. You know, I would expect if Jim Harbaugh was in the same situation that he'd be doing the same and not acting like he's has no ties to Michigan. And that's fine. It's annoying, I guess, if you're a Michigan fan and you see the guy that had the record at Urban Meyer did, and, you know, he was the coach at Ohio State being the guy out there. But, you know, if it was a Michigan guy, I think people would love it. And, you know, he's had some pretty good perspective, in my opinion. Travis Moose at Moose underscore Travis. What's your prediction as to whether Nojel Eastern actually ends up playing for Michigan or not? this year, next year, or not at all. Some speculation is he hasn't graduated Purdue. Some is credits. Some is overseas basketball. But now, either way, it's real quiet now. Well, I know you asked this beforehand, and I haven't actually watched it. But I know that Juwan Howard commented on him yesterday, even though Michigan hasn't officially announced him. I'd feel pretty good about it just based off of that and the fact that he's raving about him. I think that he's I don't know what, you know, what his waiver situation will end up being, but I would imagine he'll if he can be on campus this next year, whether he plays or not, he will be. I know some have said overseas. I don't think he's there yet. I think that's an uphill climb. That's just me personally spitballing, but I'm pretty notorious for saying I don't have basketball connections as far as the inside there at this juncture. So, nor have I really tried because it's just not one of those things that I've necessarily tried to do. But I don't. I would expect him to arrive. I don't think that there's much reason for concern. And if there is, you know what they've brought in? They brought in Chandy. They brought in Mike Smith. They'll be fine. Nick Carl at ncarl2123. Hey, man, got a question for the pod with JJ. Planning, as in, you know, the quarterback. I was going to say McCaffrey, but that's JJ McCarthy. Planning on enrolling early and accuracy being his best trait. Could you see him pushing the starters as a true freshman, knowing how important accuracy is in this offense? I mean, absolutely. I think, though, he'd have an uphill climb with all the other stuff. But I think if there is, you know, we're in an age where in college football where a true freshman can come in and dominate. We saw it with Trevor Lawrence. You saw it with Tua Tagovailoa. But it's not every case, right? Joe Burrow just had basically the best season a college football quarterback has ever had, and he's a fifth-year guy. So it's not... That's not written, you know, hard and fast written in stone. I think it just depends on how quickly he can know the playbook, know to read defenses, because accuracy is one thing, but reading a defense is another. Recognizing pre-snap reads, your pre-snap read, your post-snap, all that stuff is just as important. Knowing who your top guy is, who your check down is. Those are all things that he needs to be 100% aware of as well. And if he is the most accurate but doesn't have the best grasp of all of the things I just said, then it might take him a minute. Final question, Ryan, at IM3LAC. Why do you think Jim Harbaugh receives so much scrutiny from the media while coaches like Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Kirby Smart, Paul Chryst, etc. get a pass? Part of it is a lot of those guys have been higher up than Harbaugh. I think that's part of it. And you can, there's reasons why, but Brian Kelly's coached in the national championship game and in the college football playoffs. James Franklin won the Big Ten. Michigan was clearly a better team, but Michigan lost to Ohio State, and Penn State beat Ohio State, even though Penn State lost to Michigan 49-10. Kirby Smart's been in the national championship game. And Paul Chryst has been, you know, they've won Big Ten or been, I don't know if it's been Chryst because my timeline on his arrival is a little foggy offhand. But, I mean, they've been in that Big Ten championship game year in, year out. So, that's part of it. But I think the bigger reason is Harbaugh is just a lightning rod for attention. And some of it I think he brings on himself. But it's funny to me because I don't think that it's necessarily like nearly as bad as people make it out to be. Let's take, and this will probably be more of a topic for tomorrow, but let's take the Free Press article that Rainier wrote. Again, I like Rainier, but hard not to swear there. Talk about taking something and trying to put as much of a negative light on it as possible. I think it's innocuous that Jim Harbaugh said we've been as close as you can be. I don't think he's talking, and I know he was kind of asked, like, you know, from, you know, getting over the mountaintop, you know, beating Ohio State, getting into the Big Ten championship, getting into the college football playoff. And he said, you know, he says, we've been as close as we can be. And that's not inaccurate at all. They were a literal inch away from all of those things. And people act like he's out there, you know, saying a bunch of outlandish things. Harbaugh really isn't saying a lot of outlandish things. People make it look like he said outlandish things by taking things out of context or ascribing meaning to things. Take the John U. Bacon book, the It's Hard to Beat the Cheaters thing. And then you had outlets saying, and, you know, multiple outlets saying he said it's hard to beat the cheaters in the SEC, which he never said. It's a lot of misinformation out there when it comes to Harbaugh. And it's because people like to hate on him because he's just a polarizing figure, because they never expected him to come to Michigan. And when he did, probably a lot of it has to do with Michigan fans were very, you know, well, we'll see after we win the next 5 straight national championships. Not all y'all were like that, of course. I was still a fan. I wasn't working in the media at that time, and that was certainly my feeling. And because everyone proclaimed he was going to be better than he's been. I don't think it's his fault, though. We've talked about that a million times over. And but I think it's one of those things where it's easy to have a villain, whether that's the right thing or the wrong thing, because listen, look at how many guys he's graduated, how many guys he's put in the draft. He's done a pretty good job when that's concerned, better than a lot of them out there that aren't, you know, aside from Urban Meyer, recently Ryan Day, Nick Saban. You know, you can't say that about Kirby Smart. You can't really say that about Brian Kelly. You can't really say that about James Franklin. You can't really say it about Paul Christ. That, you know, Michigan, how many guys Michigan's put in the league, that is. It's just a selective desire, and part of it is probably driven by clicks. It's easy. Anything Harbaugh does is going to get clicks. Less so now than a couple years ago, but it's still a tried and true thing. And if you have a stance on him, especially that's negative, you're going to get both Michigan fans and the rest of college football fans to be like, ooh, I'm going to open that. Is what it is. All right, that'll do it. Hopefully we'll have something tomorrow. I'll try to find a way, whether I'm here in Ann Arbor or I'm at my mom's, to get something done. So please pray for her recovery. She seems like she's doing all right, but still needs a person around. Remember to tell your smart device to play the Locked On Big Ten. That's the show I've been on. You can get a broader look at the entire conference. Excellent show. And you can do the same with Locked On Wolverines. All right, we'll talk to you later. Hopefully, I can speak a little bit better than I am today.